Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 15, 2014, or the Sibian 18, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, "It Is Morning in My Heart." All the darkness of the night has passed away. It is morning in my heart. I am living in the sunlight of the day. It is morning in my heart. It is morning, it is morning in my heart. Just forbade the sad early shadows all depart. Songs of gladness now I sing, for since Yashua is my King, this morning it is morning in my heart. I can hear the songbirds singing their refrain, it is morning in my heart. And I know that life for me begins again. It is morning in my heart. It is morning, it is morning in my heart. Yashua made the gloomy shadows all depart. Songs of gladness now I sing, for since Yashua is my King, this morning, this morning in my heart. Yashua's made the world a paradise to me. This morning in my heart. Every beauty in the light of love I see. This morning in my heart. It is morning, it is morning in my heart. Yashua made the gloomy shadows all depart. Songs of gladness now I sing, for since Yashua is my King, it is morning, it is morning in my heart. Joy has come to dwell with me forevermore. It is morning in my heart. I shall sing it when I reach the other shore. It is morning in my heart. It is morning, it is morning in my heart. Yashua made the gloomy shadows all depart. Songs of gladness now I sing, for since Yashua is my King, this morning it is morning in my heart. Part 3, Matthew 24, we're taken from the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. We're going to defer to a prayer thought taken from Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O Yahweh, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou broken may rejoice, which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltless, O Yahweh, thou Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, for the sacrifice of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Elohim, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and a whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Psalms 19, the whole chapter. For the heavens declare the glory of the Yahweh, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. For the law of the Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. Now in Psalms 20, chapter 20, let's start with verse 1. The Yahweh hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Elohim of the Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Okay, so we need help from the sanctuary and we need to be strengthened out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according unto thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our Elohim we will set up our banners. For the Yahweh fulfilled all thy petitions. And now know I that the Yahweh saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now, at the last Pentecost, we had a baptism. There were three of us baptized. We baptized each other, Alan DeLong and his friend Sharon, and myself, and we baptized. And we had an anointing of all four of us the same day. Now, people need to examine their hearts, because when you go that far to be baptized and anointed, that means that you have been set aside for a special work, and you are believing that you are sanctified and purified, and that you have got all your sins washed away. So I'm telling this as a warning to anyone. When you request baptism and you're baptized, make sure that you have emptied your heart of all rebellion, and that you don't go back to your former criticizing, especially of your brethren, in any way. And know what's right and what's wrong in the eyes of the Yahweh. Know if you have right relationships with mankind. Know that if Yahweh approves of it. Yahweh's word is complete. He will instruct you out of His word. Because He is not going to save His anointed that blaspheme. The sign of someone that has been anointed and forgiven of all their sin means that they have now the power and the gift to pray for the sick and they will be recovered. Now, if you don't have the power of these gifts, and yet you've been baptized and anointed, and especially on the day of Pentecost, and you don't have it in your heart to go out and minister to mankind and for the saving of souls, that's what I read to you in Psalm 51. It's a very, very concise. It said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That's Psalm 51:12. "And uphold me with thy free spirit." In verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." This is our main commission, is that we become perfect in the eyes of heaven. We perform all of our vows, and we come into unity with the brethren, and we don't all of a sudden get upset because we don't approve of the way our brethren is teaching the message, and we call him a backbiter and a hypocrite and criticizer. You see, and then this is what has happened here in our congregation over and over through the years. We've had this one such person that's been with us, and he has his high days and his low days. But he never fails it when he has a low day to attack me. And he calls me a backbiter and a hypocrite and a fault finder and a criticizer. He calls me all those pet phrases that he thinks of. But this comes out of a heart filled with rebellion and hatred and animosity. This is the kind of heart that would say things like that. This is the kind of heart that will bite the hand that feeds him. So not only is he striking back at me, but he's striking back at Yahweh that appointed me. So this person knows exactly who I'm talking about. And I'm telling you right now, his days are shortened. And those that go along with him, that conduct themselves in this manner. Yahweh is not going to long tolerate this type of conduct. And so, the time is short for these kind of people. Okay. So he says that in Psalm 51:11 and 12 and 13, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." This is what I pray for every day. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Okay. Then it says in verse 14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Yahweh, thou Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Okay. So now it says that to deliver me from blood guiltiness. Well, this is one thing. You don't be guilty of the blood of someone else. Because if you become a stumbling block and you cause someone to stumble and lose their soul salvation, then you're going to have the blood upon your head. If you claim to have the truth and a love for the truth, then you will show this by your words and your actions, and how you speak, and how you conduct yourself according to Yahweh's commandments. Not according to what I say, but according to His statutes and judgment. And so I'm going to read to you now here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6 it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it." Now, we have these statutes committed unto us. Yahweh has commanded us and charged us to lay a hold of his statutes and to teach his government and to restore his sanctuary 100% completely in all aspects, whatsoever we eat, drink, say, or do. And he brought us out of the desert in 2003, and he brought us into this land here, where we're at here in Texas, to possess it. So he said, he said, now these are the commandments to teach you, that you might do them. Okay. Then it says in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Yahweh, that Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Yahweh Elohim of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with the milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Yahweh our Elohim is one Yahweh, and thou shalt love the Yahweh thy Elohim with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Yahweh the Elohim shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou hast eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Yahweh which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, spiritually speaking, he brought us out of the land of Egypt in 2003 from the wilderness there in the far reaches of West Texas, from the house of bondage. We were in the house of bondage at Gilead Center, 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church. The Holy Spirit impressed me to call it exactly what Rollis named it to begin with, 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church, because he tried to distance himself from the Adventist Church and from the Davidian Adventist, and he tried to distance himself from even calling himself Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And so I'm just saying, it says, because he was of the house of Esau, he had taken over the house of David, Jacob, and he was in charge of it. And so by rescinding the statutes of the sanctuary that he was commanded to set up in 1970, over the period of years, he rescinded all of that by his action. And so he took the house of Israel into the house of bondage in the spiritual Egypt. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:13, thou shalt fear the Yahweh thy Elohim, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For Yahweh the Elohim is a jealous Elohim among you, lest the anger of the Yahweh the Elohim be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Yahweh your Elohim as ye tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Yahweh your Elohim and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which Yahweh sware unto thy father, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as Yahweh has spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment which Yahweh or Elohim hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Yahweh showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land in which he swore unto our fathers. And the Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Yahweh our Elohim for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Yahweh our Elohim, as he hath commanded us. Okay, now this is what he tells us. If we do all that he has commanded us, this is our righteousness. So he's not asking a whole lot for you to be considered completely righteous. He just asks you to be obedient to everything he commands you. And he says his yoke is easy. He says it's not grievous to bear. His yoke is light. Man's yoke is heavy. It's hard to bear. Okay, now in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going to go ahead and read that. It says, when the Yahweh thy Elohim shall bring thee into the land which thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, there's that seven complete again, greater and mightier than thou, and when the Yahweh the Elohim shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter, thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following thee, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And thus shall ye deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Okay. So what happens when a prophet apostatizes in Israel? Are you to soft soap it, and are you to smooth over it and gloss over it and say, well, he taught truth anyway. He still taught truth. If you could understand his truth, that's what this voice told me yesterday here in the congregation. He said, I can understand, brother, but I can't understand yours. I can't understand yours, but yet he's been with me for 33 years, but he can't understand what I teach. But he can understand, brother. Okay, I said, well, that's where you belong then. That's where you belong. He's got a tomb over there on his gravesite there in front of him. Just go over there and set up your memorial there, and worship there. For thou art in the holy people under Yahweh the Elohim. The Yahweh the Elohim has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now this is a verse that really comes close to home. Because there's three of us he chose out of Kermit when it came to his end in 2002. He said, and this verse applies to us. For thou art an holy people under the Yahweh the Elohim. Because when judgment began at the house of Yahweh, he saved three of us out of there. He said in Zechariah 3 that we were a brand plucked out of the burning. And burning means judgment. He said, boy, he plucked us right out of the burning. The Yahweh the Elohim has chosen thee, this house of David, this antitypical Elijah David and his helpers. So he has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people. And that includes 144,000. Because the message that the house of David brings forth is what's going to bring forth the 144,000. I can read it to you right there in track 8 of V.T. Holler. Okay, he said that are upon the first year. Now I want to quote to you a little bit just from memory. In track 8, I believe, of Mount Zion's 11th hour of V.T. Holler, he says that the Elijah's message destroyed the tares in the Adventist Church, just to free the 144,000. Says David's message, Antiquity, David destroys the sinners out of the congregation of the second fruits, the great multitude. Elijah's message takes care of the first harvest, first fruits harvest, getting rid of the sinners. And David's message takes care and clears out the sinners out of the second fruits, the great multitude, which are brethren to the 144,000. I'm going to do that track, track 8 again, just as soon as I get through with this series here that I'm doing here with Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. But I'm reading right now from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. For the Yahweh did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. So Gilead Center was the fewest of all of the people of the Adventists from the time it started in 1844 and grew into the millions. And now they depleted back down to just a handful and ended up just choosing three people out of a congregation that had less than 20 members at the time she came to her end at Gilead Center. And chose three people, and myself and Alan DeLong and my wife were the three people he chose. And that's where this verse applies. So we are very privileged people. And now we've got problems with coming into unity, just of us three people coming into unity. Well, that's all fiction to come to an end. But because he already loved thee, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, hath the Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Yahweh, the Elohim, he is the Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Okay, now what does it say in Psalms 105, verse 8, 9, and 10? Why don't we just flip to that right quick and read that for a brief reminder and a refresher. It says, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Now here's Jacob, the house of David, that's bringing forth the 144,000, which is your pure Israel. This is how we finally graduate and get that name again, Israel, is by coming into total perfection. Okay. And then he says in Psalms 105, verse 11, saying, unto thee. Okay. Now he's talking about Israel. The last one he mentioned, I confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Well, we are the true Israel that he has confirmed for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee, house of David, house of Israel, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Now he's telling me that he's placed me in charge of this kingdom, and he says, because he had remembered his everlasting covenant to Israel, and we represent this purified Israel of today, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. So Canaan is the lot of our inheritance. That's fair. Okay. When they were but a few in number. Very few and strangers in it. See? Okay. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. So when you lift up your voice and you rail against Yahweh's latest servant that he's placed in the office of inspiration, when you stand up and you don't have any fear to rail on him and call him all kinds of choice names, starting with backbiters and hypocrite and criticizer, and all that stuff, you don't know what you're doing. You're bringing Yahweh's wrath down and his condemnation upon your head. and you're committing blasphemy. That's not going to be tolerated anymore in this house. I can tell you that right now. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. Then the word of the Yahweh tried him. For the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house. In other words, he made him ruler of his house and ruler of all his substance in the land of Egypt. Well, who do you think Elijah David is today, this antypical Elijah Malachi 4 talks about? He fits in this same role right here as Joseph fit in, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Did you know that David, the name David, means a type of Yahshua? Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Okay, what was the name of Noah's second son? Ham. Okay, and what did Ham do? He committed an abomination, a terrible, heinous act upon his mother and father. And he was condemned, and he ended up a condemned race of people. Even the color of his skin was changed to a black race. Okay? Well, I didn't do it. Yahweh did it. The black race of the people today, they're many righteous people among them. Not talking about these righteous. I'm talking about these ones that Yahweh condemned that blasphemes him. So if you're a black person and you're blaspheming Yahweh and not keeping his commandments and statutes, well, then you are a descendant of Ham. Okay? But if you're falling after righteousness and keeping the commandments and statutes that Israel keeps, then you get the blessings of a stranger that sojourns in the land, and you get a name better than that of the greatest men of the earth. So it says in Psalm 105, verse 24, he said, he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servant. So now, in order for Yahweh to increase his house today and to make them greater and stronger than their enemies, he's going to have a people that are come in unity and put away all sin and the criticism out of their hearts and rebellion, and come into total unity with their fellow man, with their leader of Israel, and with Yahweh himself. This is the only way you can come in and to be covered by the blood of Yahshua. He sent Moses' servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Okay. Where are we at today? We're in the land of Ham. And Ham is another name for the half-brothers of Isaac. Ishmael is a half-brother of Isaac. Okay? He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their king. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came and the caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. This year I pray for Yahweh to send us rain here in the heat of summer. Send us give us a cool summer. And so far in June, we're halfway through June. It's one of the hottest months of the year. And June, July, and August are your three hottest months of the year. And we're in that time. And yet, for the last 3 weeks, starting the last week of May, we started having cool and rainy, cloudy weather. And our gardens have grown and real well. And we feel Yahweh's blessing. We feel it an answer to prayer. over this. He smote also all the firstborn of the land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear that then fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give the light in the night, the people also, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye, Yahweh. Now here in Texas, we've got our borders are being overrun with the aliens from across the border, South America and Mexico. Obama, our president, which he's not even a citizen of this land, he's Satan incarnate. He come from Kenya, Africa. He came over here and fulfilling the vision that George Washington had about these ominous clouds coming into this land, but we end up triumphing at the end. But nevertheless, we've got a nation under siege right now. This righteous nation of Texas, that has become a righteous nation, is under siege right now from the south, from the east, and from the west, and from the north. They're coming in through Canada. They're coming in from the west coast, through Southern California, coming through to Mexico, and coming up from the south, and they're coming north, and they're coming right through Texas. They're coming here, and 35,000 a month is coming in here. And the Border Patrol are just having to let them pass right on through. They're not allowed to deter them at all. And they're gangsters. They're drugs. They come bringing their guns and their drugs, and just telling us that this is their land to begin with, and they're coming to take it back. And we got a president of the United States that is allowing it, cooperating with them. And so now Yahweh is telling us through His Word that we have to become totally 100% righteous, so that He can empower us to become stronger than our enemies. What it says in there. Verse 24, I just read you. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemy. And this is what he's got to do now. And how is he going to increase us greatly now? Through the 144,000 starting as the first increase. And then the great multitudes no man can number. And then the 200 million there in Revelation 9:16. And then there's 200 million angels that come and attend those 200 million horses there in Revelation 9:16. So you got a 400 million army there. Why is that? Why do we need so many people? Why do we need so many soldiers? Because our enemy is all over the world, and they're by the billions, and they're out for one thing, that to destroy the nation of Israel, wherever they may be. So Yahweh, right here in verse 24, he says he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemy. So he's going to have to. Otherwise, we'll be annihilated by the enemy. But we know that Yahweh is not going to allow that. And so the answer is in his word. And that's what we're reading to you this morning, from his word. Now we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And in verse 10 it says, and repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. So I'm giving warning to this person that has railed on me here on the Sabbath just past, and called me all kinds of choice names that he could think of. And had no fear to do it. Because he believed that he was right. He believed that this is exactly what I am. Because I keep talking about Brother Johnson, the man that defiled the camp of Israel and brought it to a close here at Kermit, Texas. Brought it down to the sides of the pit, brought it down to hell. But yet, he says, Brother Johnson teaches the truth and he don't understand mine. because I spend more time railing and criticizing him than I do about teaching the truth anyway. And Yahweh told me that when it comes up in the prophecy, that I am the name places, faces, dates, and people. And the 11th hour is our connecting link to the 12th hour. And if you can't connect up these parabolic hours and put them in their order and put the players that played their part in those hours, you can't place them in there and tell who they are and what they did and how they came to their end and why they came to their end and the way they came to their end because of the way they handled the word of Yahweh. Did they handle the word of Yahweh the way he says to handle it? No. The Adventists have not handled the word of Yahweh 100% because of the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 4. He said, until Israel comes to perfection, she's going to eat her bread by measure and drink her water by measure, a little bit at a time. What happens, though, she's not content to do that. She wants to get over into those prophecies and try to make them come to their fulfillment in their time that they have no right in dealing with. They try to make the end time prophecies fulfill in their day. In other words, the prophecies that are fulfilled in the 12th hour, they're trying to make them fulfill in the Adventists in the 10th and the 11th hour. And they had four prophets that tried to do this, Ellen G. White included. Ellen G. White did everything Yahweh called her to do, but she still said things that were not to be fulfilled in her day, but she was a true prophet, and we couldn't live without the foundation of the spirit of prophecy as she compiled, or V.T. Hollis either one. But they all taught doctrine by measure. They eat their bread and they drank their water by measure from time to time, they said. They weren't to have the whole thing all at once and bring the everlasting kingdom of heaven down from heaven into their domain. No. So it says, verse 11, Deuteronomy 7, it says, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Yahweh thy Elohim shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy father, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle. Yahweh is telling me that he's placing the house of David in charge of this whole nation of Texas, and that there's only going to be righteous people in these borders whenever that time comes, and that we're going to go forward conquering the conquer from here, and we're going to be put in charge of all nations of the earth. We're going to be over all of them. So that's quite a tall order, folks. And all he's asking me to do is to become 100% righteous and perfect in his sight, to keep his statutes and judgment, and perform my daily vows at the third hour of the day and the ninth hour of the day. And he will bind me up and heal us, and all those that are right here as a part of this household, he will do the same thing. But you see? And so therefore, I'm just saying that as of today, everyone's going to have to prove themselves to see whether they're in the faith or not 100% and see if they're truly in unity with the leadership. They're going to have to prove themselves and supply the proof today. When they hear this message, they're going to have to come forward and supply the proof that they're in unity 100%. And if they're not, they're going to have to show why they're not in unity. They're going to have to bring their causes, and they're going to have to bring their accusations, and they're going to have to lay them out, and they're going to have to prove these. This is going to be done starting today. And the Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And I've suffered from diseases all my life, and I'm suffering even right now as a result of lifelong bad habits. But you know, at 76 years old, Yahweh is bringing me into full conformity with His health laws. And I'm putting them into practice, and He's restoring me, and I'm not complaining. I feel the power in the hand of Yahweh upon me day by day on all of these things. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 7. And thou shalt consume all the people which Yahweh the Elohim shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them. Neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Yahweh the Elohim did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee out. So shall the Yahweh thy Elohim do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Yahweh thy Elohim will send the hornet among them until they are left, and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Yahweh thy Elohim is among you, a mighty Elohim and terrible. Verse 22, And the Yahweh thy Elohim will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under the heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. So this is a promise to the house of David. And when David, as a type, went forth conquering to conquer his enemy, he said that Yahweh delivered all of his enemies into his hands, and there was nobody able to stand before him. But we represent the antitypical house of David today, and so it's going to be the same thing today. For the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with the fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination unto Yahweh the Elohim. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Okay. In chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, it says, remember the Yahweh and His commands. Okay. So, I think we'll let you go ahead and read this for yourselves. The whole book of Deuteronomy is very good. Let us now go to our main study. We just got about 12 minutes left on our study. And let's begin where we left off. This is in part 3 of Matthew 24. We start on page 182. It says, do a little review. They all slumbered and slept, talking about the 10 virgins. This statement by the Master proves that the church as a body has been asleep, being in the perfect harmony with the previous explanation of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Five are foolish and five wise. Now this prophecy applies directly to Gilead Center, 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church from 1970 to 2003. Number 10, being a symbol of the church as a body, that's a symbol of the Adventist Church as a body all over the world. So it says the number 5 and 5 means half and half, and V.T. Hollop went into talking about in 1932 that at that time there was about 300,000 members of the Adventist Church, and he said cut half of that in two, and you come with about 144,000 once you get rid of the backsliders. And he talks about that literally being a half, five wise and five foolish. Okay, so but anyway, he just says that example shows thus again it proves that 144,000 are the five wise virgins. This is the point we want to get at. 144,000 are the five wise virgins. Even though there's a 15, 20 million Adventists listed today, you still, the 144,000 represents the five wise virgins today. And the foolish ones are they who shall fall under the destroying weapons in the land of the five men, or in the hand of the five men of Ezekiel 9. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, for the oil is a symbol of the spirit of Elohim in the form of a message, truth, for it is the substance that gives the light, the prophetic word of the Elohim. The lamp must be a symbol of the heart into which the word oil is being retained. The trimming of their lamps is the trimming of their hearts. That is, their conscience being aroused, they began to show interest, but only five of them had an extra supply of oil in their vessel. As they started out to meet the bridegroom, the lamps of the foolish ones went out, and as they found of themselves in the darkness, it made their progress impossible. Now the question arises, what made their lamps go out, and why could they go backwards and not forward? As a message of judgment for the dead was the present truth since 1844, at the beginning of the judgment for the living, when the cry was made, it became present truth no longer. Consequently, their lamps went out. They could not move forward because they were foolish. That is, they did not accept the light of the judgment for the living. So now, folks, this is fast forward to clear up to 1970 and 2002. This is the time period we're talking about now, those that couldn't accept the light of the judgment for the living. But as I said before, whenever the prophet believes that he's in the seventh seal, in which Brother Johnson believed in 1970, said the seventh seal was given to him to open. But he didn't tell us, but V.T. Hodges told us, that the seventh seal comprised the chapters from 8 to 22 of Revelation. And everything that's written in the book of Revelation from chapter 8 to 22 is contained in the book of the seventh seal. Brother Johnson didn't tell us that. He just let us go along and believe that the seventh seal was only opened up to him. And I don't think he even understood what V.T. Hodges said on that. Or he'd have told us, he said, well, the seventh seal is none other but everything that's written in the book of Revelation from chapter 8 to 22. You can read it for yourselves, in other words, what's in there. But anyway, Brother Johnson believed that he had the judgment of the living message. He had all sevens anyway, you know, seventh seal, seventh trumpet, the seventh movement, 1970 for the time for the movement, and the seven more feast days added to the seventh-day Sabbath, and he had all seven. And V.T. Hodges says the 11th hour began in 1930, and Brother said, no, it began in 1970, and that's the last hour. V.T. Hodges says it's the last hour, and that whoever's in the last hour is that fifth group of laborers in Matthew 20, verse 6, which is the house of David. So V.T. Hodges pretty much was took care of the Adventists in the closing work for the judgment for the dead that they were in by saying, you know, we're in the judgment for the living. You see? So when you believe you're in the judgment for the living, then you don't need to look for any more oil, because you believe that you got the last oil and that you have it in your vessel. You got the last oil for the last message that you're going to ever need. So whenever Yahweh sent him that message, Brother Johnson, July the 14th, by me, a message from heaven, that was the light to start the judgment of the living. It called for revival and reformation. It called for repentance. The same thing Yahshua told Nicodemus, repent. Be born again. That's what John the Baptist told all those that came to him for baptism on the banks of the Jordan. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's the difference today? That's what I told Verus on July 2002. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same message that they've given all through the years. Always give that message to start the revival and reformation. Okay. So it says they could not move forward because they were foolish. That is, Gilead Center couldn't move forward in 2003 after judgment started there because they rejected the oil for the judgment of the living, so they couldn't move forward. Okay. It says, because they did not accept the light for the judgment for the living. Was the oil beyond their reach? No. It was given to them. The words in the parable prove that they all heard the cry. So what was the cry? Elijah gave the cry. Repent. Restore the daily. Restore the sanctuary. Get rid of your filthy garments. Stop your idolatry. Stop your birthday celebrations in the church. Stop all this worldly amusement that you go to. Stop all of this bad eating things that defile the body. This is what was given to them. But they didn't want to do that. So they rejected the oil that would have relit their lamps because the lamps were flickering and going out with the oil that they had, and they thought they had the oil for the judgment of the living, but their lamps was going out. So what was going on? They became confused, and consternation set in, and darkness set in. Okay, so he says, they all heard the cry. They had rose and trimmed their lamps. Five of them failed to get the supply of oil because they were foolish. They did not study for themselves, allow others to think for them. They chose the easy, popular side and accepted the decision of the leader, copied the mistakes of others, and were thus left without a supply of oil, robbed of the truth, cheated of the glory, and left in the darkness. Okay, and the foolish are said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. At last, the foolish virgins saw themselves in the darkness. So this is talking about the whole Adventist church as a whole. Now, when the 144,000 comes forth representing these five wise virgins, then this is what it's talking about. It's talking about the whole Adventist church. And they'll see themselves in the darkness when they see the 144th standing with the Lamb upon Mount Zion, and that light that's illuminating and lighting the whole world with that fifth angel's message, lighting the whole earth with his glory, then they'll see themselves in their true darkness, what they really are. And then all of them is going to come crying to the 144,000. Before they are destroyed as terrors, they're going to come crying. And they're going to come like they were in Noah's day. Let us in, let us in, let us in. We understand now. We see the truth now. We understand. We're willing to accept it. We're willing to do whatever you say. Then they went to the wise and asked for all as a gift. This is the five foolish virgin. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. The oil is sold, and there must be something given in exchange to obtain the supply. The price they had to pay was to sigh and cry for all the abominations done in the mystery. Give up sinning and obey the truth. Their receipt for the value of exchange would have been the seal of the living Elohim in their forehead. Now, we're getting close to the end of our studies now. And I want to say that Alan DeLong was one of those that was signing and crying against all the abominations being done down at Kermit. And now he's blaspheming me for even mentioning about the abominations that they committed down there in Kermit. That's what delivered him, was his sign and crying against those abominations, the very ones that I signed and cried against. But yet, he's condemning me now for even mentioning that as an example of what took place. This brings the close of our studies. Our contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Whosoever will. Whosoever hear, it shall shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news. where help for man is found, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. There's a loving Father calls a wondrous home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh, need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while ye may. Yahshua is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. There's a loving Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, this love forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. There's a loving Father called the wanderer home. Whosoever will, they come.